sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour of today, this terrific Thursday, July 17th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Kind of interesting. SanDisk Corporation had been scoping out a site in Mundy Township, Genesee County, to build a huge mega semiconductor plant. Governor Gretchen Whitmer had been chasing this project for years, offering all kinds of grants, all kinds of dollars, tax abatements, all kinds of goodies for them to come here. Well, evidently, their board decided against building the plant, not mentioning whether they're going to build it somewhere else or not. But Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the Democrat state representative for that Genesee County area quickly attacking Donald Trump for their corporate decision, blaming it on his proposed tariffs that are going to take effect on August 1st. Sorry, Gretchen. You don't understand tariffs. You don't understand that by them building the plant and producing their semiconductors here in Michigan, they would not be subject to any tariffs. They're building it in the United States. Michigan is part of Donald Trump's United States, of which he is president. The Democrat state representative saying that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity project for his district or his Genesee County. And now it's dead because of Donald Trump. No, you guys, it's not because of Donald Trump. It's not because of the tariffs. It's because they simply decided perhaps somebody else is giving them a better deal somewhere else. And all your time and effort has been a complete waste. We don't know what their plans are, but at this point, simply they're saying they're not going to go forward with the site in Mundy Township, Genesee County. And Whitmer and the Democrat state representative going to blame it on Donald Trump. You see, Mr. President, no matter what you do, the Democrats, the corporate legacy media, they're going to blame you for everything anyway. What we want is the truth. We want justice. We want these people prosecuted. If there was wrongdoing, we want the truth and we want justice. And you're right. We can never vote for you again. You don't need our support. But your vice president, J.D. Vance, does in 2028. Candidates next year in 2026 midterm elections, they need us. So you maybe need to rethink your position on the Epstein files and what you're telling Pam Bondi to do. Going to be resolved one way or another. Get it out and let's move on. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two here on this Thursday. Joining us on the line right now is Jonathan Deek. He's with the Institute for Family Justice. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hey, good morning, Randy.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you today about a slightly different subject, but I think it'll kind of connect the dots to what you guys are doing there for the Institute for Family Justice. One of the cases I've been following in the news is adoptions. And one of the stories that I was following was the fact that both parents, the husband and the wife, the mom and the dad, were drug addicts. In the state of Michigan, basically through Child Protective Services, took custody of these kids because of the parents having drug addictions, having problems. Well, allegedly, according to the story, the father had went through treatments and actually got his act cleaned up, went out and got a job. He went out and actually rented a house where he was able to provide a living habitat for his family, and he sought to get custody back of his children from the state. Well, the state had already put these children up for adoption through foster care. And so I was wondering, because I didn't really understand that process that well, from the story anyway, they didn't really say what the laws were. They weren't really saying what the situation outcome of this was going to be. But I was wondering, have you, through your sources of people who have contacted you, have, you know, ran these problems, these issues by you, have you ever dealt with children in protective custody of the state being put up for adoption while parents are going through a divorce? They both agreed to get a divorce and separate. One was basically enabling the other one to do drugs, and it sounded like the wife, the mother, was causing the dad to do drugs. Well, once they separated, he was able to clean up his act and get back on his feet. Have you ever encountered anything like this in all your experience of going through this information that you've been dealing with people?
I have encountered it, but I haven't been able to help anybody with that. I know of several parents that are going through it, you know, that are fighting CPS for their kids. And I know that depending on the state, there's a certain amount of time a parent has to prove that they've gotten their act together and that they're a capable parent to care for the children. If they do it within the time frame, the courts can and have given up permanent custody to a foster family. And there's not much I know of that has been able to be done about that. That doesn't sit very well with me, because the fundamental nature of our justice system is that, you know, people go and they do the corrections and they get their life back together, that they're supposed to be a member of society. And so that's something that really should be looked at. You know, if a parent is going through issues, and, you know, Lord knows we all go through issues, none of us are perfect. And if somebody takes the effort and the time to heal themselves, to heal their character, to heal their body, I really don't see a good reason why the family shouldn't be reunited.
Well, and that was my feeling, especially, you know, I mean, this is their biological father. I mean, this is the guy who, you know, gave them life, and at least to have one biological parent in their lives, maybe it would be a situation where the kids are reunited with dad, mom sees this or finds out about it and decides to clean up her act as well. She could always then, you know, try to work out some kind of arrangement to be in their lives once she gets back on her feet. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that that we're forced to deal with as a society. You know, things happen to people, circumstances, pressures, whatever, addictions kick in, and then they have these problems. And, of course, you know, here are the young kids. I believe they were like, the boy was 7, and I think the girl was 5. Here they are, you know, not doing anything wrong, just being kids, but, you know, forced to be, you know, have to be taken care of because mom and dad are having these drug issues. So, you know, where do we go from here? How do you see your Institute for Family Justice potentially sometime down the road being able to play a role in all this?
Absolutely. I would love to take up a case like that. As a matter of fact, when those kids turn to 18 years old and they become able to make their own legal decisions, you know, if they decided that what the state did to them was not okay and that they loved their parents, even though their parents had problems and they wanted to be with them, I would love to represent them in a suit against the state for torturous damage because they have a First Amendment right of association with their parents. There's nothing more fundamental than your life than the ability to have children. And so if those children, when they come of age, because they have memories of their parents, and if they decide that they would have rather been with their parents despite their flaws, I would love to represent them in a suit against the state.
Well, you know, and on that point, you know, child protective services, even in a regular divorce between a man and a woman, mom and dad, sometimes CPS comes in and causes problems or issues. I'm sure you ran into this, and you know others have run into this as well. So what are their options, I guess, is my question.
When they're dealing with CPS?
Yes.
Well, they have to know what their rights are, and they have to stand on them. And sometimes you have to, unfortunately, sue CPS. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, if you start making complaints about CPS, you know, these people work in an office together, there's a little bit of like a kind of a little clicky protectionist attitude in these offices. And so if you do that, sometimes they really want to push back against you just because their egos get in the way of the best interest of the children. And so then you really have to go after them viciously with litigation. And one of my friends, Sean McMillan out of California, he makes a career out of suing CPS. He likes to bring Monell claims when, you know, you have supervisors and directors that are all in collusion with the deprivation of rights under color of law, and he's a winner. He wins all of the time.
And in that process, now is, well, the point of clarification is, so he's an attorney out there in California?
He is. He's an attorney, and the only thing he does is sue CPS. That is how he makes all of his money.
Okay, and he's not licensed to practice here in Michigan, but do you know of any other attorneys in Michigan that are, you know, practicing like he is out there in California here in the state of Michigan?
No, not yet. But part of what I'm doing with the Institute is I'm meeting other attorneys, trying to meet the good ones, trying to build up a Rolodex of attorneys that do believe in the fundamental right of a parent-child relationship and are willing to go against the current status quo and being willing to sue the government and the government agencies when they step out of line. Because there's nothing more fundamental than your life. It's the right to have children.
Absolutely. All right. Very good. Well, I've had you on the show now, and a lot of people are texting me and saying, you know, they're enjoying the conversation. I've sent out your contact information to quite a few of them. They said they wanted it so they could refer it to family members, potentially, I guess, maybe going through divorce or contemplating it. And they said they really enjoyed the information, the discussions we've had with you. So appreciate you, you know, doing this. But for those who haven't heard you on the radio before, explain why you decided to put together the Institute for Family Justice. What was it based on? And basically, what is your guys' mission statement? What you're hoping to accomplish?
Well, the reason it happened is because I went through it. I experienced what goes on inside of CPS and the family court, and I see what happens when you have people that are biased, you know, and I've lost access to my children for no good reason. I've been accused of everything under the sun, beating my children, molesting my children, raping the mother of my children, none of which was true. And when those things didn't actually work to get me out of my child's life, for some reason she started making up even more interesting lies, like I am hacking the FBI or I'm an arms dealer. And now currently she says that one of my board members for the nonprofit is an arms dealer in Atlanta, Michigan, running a firearms store with some kind of radical ideology. But my board member, David Sila, the treasurer, doesn't even live in the state of Michigan. He lives in Wisconsin. He's a boat captain and works at a fishery. And so I know firsthand how these courts love to eat up these kind of lies, and they rubber stamp court orders. And, you know, and there's grant money behind these court orders. So there's a Violence Against Women's Act. So whenever they issue a protection order, which the judge did here in Emmett County, they get grant money for this. And I'm not even sure she actually read this thing. Like, because, you know, even let's say David Sila did own a firearm store in Atlanta, Michigan. That would be Second Amendment protected activity, which is no good cause for a protective order. And then when I did some digging, I can't even find a firearm store in Atlanta. What I found was there used to be one, and now it's a dispensary, and they sell marijuana there. And so I have a lot of skin in the game. I have seen firsthand just how bad the judiciary can be, which is why I'm building a pro bono appellate law firm to stand up against tyranny so we can restore our fundamental right of having a relationship with our children. And so what I do at the Institute for Family Justice right now is I provide peer support for people going through it so they can understand what the process is like, understand what their rights are, understand how to work with their attorneys to enforce their rights, understand when their attorney is actually performing for them, when their attorney may not be doing their best, and how to talk to the attorney in such a way that they do their best. And then the end goal, either once I finish law school or I'm able to get some attorneys on the team, is we're going to provide pro bono appellate representation. And what that means is it will be free of charge, and if you lose in the lower court and I review your case and I'm like, this is a travesty, there's no reason you shouldn't be in your child's life, we're going to pick up that appellate case for free, and we're going to take that to the appeals court, to the Supreme Court, and if necessary, the United States Supreme Court, so we can create case law that protect everybody's fundamental liberty interest in the care, custody, and control of their children.
Excellent, excellent. Well, for those of you who would like this information, just text me family. I have a folder set up on my phone that auto replies and will send you Jonathan's contact information. The phone number is 231-330-6825. The website is very simple. I4FJ.com, Institute for Family Justice.com. I4FJ.com. You can get a hold of Jonathan on the website. They have an email address if you'd like to email them. Also, their address for donations. They are seeking donations to fund the Institute, and this is all money that is controlled by a treasurer. They have a board, so the money will go directly toward their mission statement, their goals, and what they hope to accomplish. So, Jonathan, final thoughts before I let you go today. Wrap it up here for us, sir.
Yeah, please, if you have some time or some money, please contribute. None of us on the board or on the team are taking any kind of profit. None of us are making any money doing this, right? Everything is going straight towards advocacy for children, you know? And if you have some time that you can give to help us fundraise or contribute, maybe you could help come or work with the crisis line, or maybe you're an attorney and you want to volunteer some hours, we'd love to have you on the team. Please call and please let me know what you can do to help. I love you and thank you.
All right, Jonathan, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate you. Keep fighting the good fight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Randy. Have a great day.
You too. Well, again, folks, I started having Jonathan on to discuss this issue because, again, basically the 13 years now that I've been on the radio doing podcasts, talking, communicating with people, a lot of you contact me outside of the show, and you have issues, you have problems, you have certain things that are going on in your lives. A lot of them over the years have been regarding dealing with the family courts, dealing with divorce, child protective services, things like this. And when Jonathan lived it, went through it himself, and has put together this institute with all these volunteer board members, I said, you know, this is something we want to offer as a service, no charge, not charging him for being on the show, not charging him for anything, just bringing it to you basically as a public service. So again, if you'd like the contact information or you'd like to make a small donation, text me family and I'll send you the contact information, the website, I4FJ.com. On the hour news break, we'll be right back.
Is Michigan News.